tonight we're going to study about Halloween. When I was a little boy, we didn't really understand what Halloween was all about. And so I remember going to see just a select few neighbors. They didn't let us go very far because people do all kinds of things to the stuff they give to people. It's probably even worse now than it was then. But Halloween has become something that people observe, and you never really even think about where it came from or what it has to do with. And it actually is quite a study when you get into where it really came from and what it has to do with. And so tonight we want to kind of do that. We're going to use some materials tonight that are kind of far out there, but we have to, nothing offensive or anything like that, but we have to look at some of their things that they have, because it helps us understand it, because Halloween really didn't come from a Christian origin at all. It comes from a satanic origin, from the worship of Satan. The evening had to do with, and it always had, and as we're going to see tonight as we get into it, it was the church, as they tried to convert the pagans to the church. The pagans had some of these ideas that were so strongly held that they couldn't seem to get them away from them, so they tried to Christianize their customs. And that's really what happened with Halloween. Before we start on that tonight, though, we should go read what God has said to his people about these kind of practices. Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is when the children of Israel were getting ready to enter the promised land. God had some last words for them, because he realized they were going to see things that were really intriguing. Like Halloween. You know, Halloween is something that it has an appeal to it. All of Satan's things, he always makes them in a way that they seem fun and appealing to us and all that, and something neat about them, you know. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 9, it says, "When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." God told them, when you get to the promised land that I'm going to give you, I don't want you learning to do what they do there. Verse 10 says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire." Passing through the fire was rituals they did, and they actually burned people in the fire sometimes. They believed in sacrificing them. "Or that useth divination, or an observer of times." Now notice that one, an observer of times. The pagans in these countries that the Jews were going in to possess, they observed times. There were certain times of the year that they had these rituals they did. Christmas is set at what's called the winter solstice. It was actually a day, these pagan holidays all had to do with where the sun was in its cycle of the year. And so God told his people they were not to be observers of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. Verse 11, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits. Familiar comes where we get the word family, and it means family spirits. They used to believe they could talk to their grandfather and their great-grandfather and get all this good information, and God forbid that, because the Bible says that the dead cannot communicate with the living. So verse 11, he told them, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. That's one who prophesies by speaking to the dead. Verse 12 says, "For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God." So he named a whole bunch of things there, and he told them that was why he was destroying those nations. He was driving them out of those lands, and he was going to give it to his people. And he told them when they got there that he did not want them learning to do what these pagan nations were actually doing. He didn't want any of his people to be involved in those practices. Now let's turn back to the little book of Galatians in the New Testament. See what Paul was dealing with the people there in the city of Galatia. I believe we're looking for Galatians chapter 4. Paul spent a lot of time preaching to these people. They'd been baptized. They became Christians. But they were having a little problem because, see, what the pagans believed is they believed that there were lots of different gods and that you had to make sure you did the right things for each of the gods, because you didn't want the god that sent the rain to be mad at you, because then he wouldn't send you any rain. And you didn't want the god that blessed you in this way to be angry, because you know you wouldn't be blessed. So they were trying to appease all these people. So after Paul had made Christians out of these people, the other people came along and said, well, that new Christianity, it might be okay, but you know, you're going to run into trouble with the old gods if you don't do their days and take care of their things. So these people were having a problem, and they were going back to doing some of these things. And we find it in Galatians chapter 4. Let's start in verse 6. He says, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So he was trying to strengthen them up and tell them, you guys are actually sons of God. You're sons of God, he told them. Then in verse 8, he's got a little problem with them. He says, "How be it then," or he's saying, "How is it then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods?" He says, before you knew the true God, you did service for the gods that weren't really gods. In other words, you were worshiping these gods that weren't gods. Verse 9, he says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again?" He's saying, how are you turning back to the weak and beggarly elements, wherein ye desire again to be in bondage? Now notice verse 10. He says, "Ye observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." He said there was a day when you didn't know the real God, the creator of the universe. And back then you worshiped these little false gods that really weren't anything. They were just a little statue, and they really didn't have any power to send rain or anything, but you thought they did. And Paul said, "I've introduced you to the real God. He claims you as his sons because you have accepted his son. And now," he says, "I'm afraid I've wasted my time on you because you're going back to observing days and months and times and years." In other words, these set cycles that the pagans had. These people were trying to be Christians, and they were trying to keep all these days that they had always kept from paganism. And we can see here that you can't do that, because Paul said, "I think I've wasted my time on you." If it was okay to do them, Paul would have told them, "Well, just don't forget to do all the Christian things. You know, don't forget to go to church and do all these things. And if you do that other, it's okay." But he didn't say that to them. He said, "I'm afraid I might have wasted time on you." Now, we know he wanted to help them, and it wasn't like he was giving up on them, but he was trying to wake them up and make them think, you know, you've got to get away from that stuff that you're doing. So there we find in the Bible, we've found what God had to say about not wanting us to do them. And we find in the New Testament, Paul setting the precedence and telling the people, you're not supposed to be doing these things. You know the true God, and you're going back to observing these times and days. Now with that all said, we're going to take a look at what some of these times and days that they had. A lot of people aren't aware of it, but the people who practice witchcraft have a lot of these days set, and they have to be performed on certain days, and they believe that they do these rites. And I have a little book in my hand here tonight. It's called 8 Sabbaths for Witches. And the word Sabbath is almost like our word Sabbath. It was like the word, they took the Sabbath word and they turned it into their word Sabbaths. And they have these special things that they do on these dates of the year. And they have their Yule ceremony, December 22nd, and they have it right on through Christmas, because that's where Christmas came from. And the one we're studying about tonight, they actually have 8 of them. They have the 2nd of February. These have to do with the cycling of the year. They have the 21st of March. They have the 30th of April. They have their midsummer one, the 22nd of June. The 31st of July, they have one. At the autumn equinox, the 21st of September, they have one. And the one we're talking about tonight, they call Samhain, and it's the 31st of October. And they've done this for thousands of years. And it goes back to their belief that they can communicate with the dead, because they believe that they can talk to the dead. So somewhere in all their ideology, you know, we can't understand exactly where it came from, they came up with the idea. If you've ever studied their beliefs, they believe there are different planes, and it's not like airplanes, but different planes of reality, and they believe that your mind's working on this one, but that if you could get into your higher mind, it might be running on this one, and if you can be in that one, you might be able to communicate with the dead and things. And they have all these different things, they call them the different planes, that supposedly, as they believe that as they go through life, and see, they believe in reincarnation, so they believe that they live this life, and if they do well, they'll come back in a little higher plane next time. Maybe they won't be stuck in a body, they'll just be a spirit, so they can float around. And they believed if they did bad things, they'd come back as an animal next time, and they had to live their life as a cat, and if they were a good cat, maybe they'd be a dog, and eventually they'd be a cow, and then eventually they'd get back to a human. So, you know, you wanted to do good, so you got moved up in the realm next time, and it really makes no sense, but they have all these ideas that they had made. And they believed on this night, October 31st, that was the night that there was no area between the planes. On that night, the dead could talk to the living, and everybody could just mingle together, because it was the night that it all fit together. So on this night, it's very interesting, the things they thought they needed to do. You know, it's kind of like today. Some of the churches have their people brainwashed. And if you can brainwash people, you know, we see it in some of the cults. You know, they've got them all to drink Kool-Aid and antifreeze and these different things, you know, and have killed all these people. And all the people, you know, a few years ago when that comet went through, you know, they all committed suicide at the same time because they were convinced that they were going to be caught up into that comet if they all died at the right moment. So if you can convince people of these things, then it gives them power over them. And so this goes back to the priests of these religions. The Celtic Druids and some of the other ones were big practicers of this. And they convinced the people of these things. And they really did them to obtain things from the people, you know, just like they do today. They want to convince them that their way is the only way, so they'll give them their money. That's basically what it all comes down to. And so they had a lot of superstitious things that they taught the people. That's where we get the black cat. You know, we had a lady at the office today who was telling us, and she was dead serious, that Friday was a terrible day for her because it was Friday the 13th, and her car broke down, and her husband was in an accident. You know, and I mean, she believed that on Friday the 13th, she shouldn't have gone out of her house. You know. And, you know, Friday the 13th doesn't mean anything except that the world has, Satan and his people have turned it into something. You know, every day is just like any other day. But it's these ideas, and when we get them in our mind, that's like the idea that, you know, if a black cat crosses your path, you're in some kind of trouble, you know. Well, these things all come out of these ideas that they had with witchcraft. And they believed on that night that the spirits came out. And where the trick-or-treating came from was the Celtic Druids used to go house to house to collect food and different things to support themselves for the next year. And they told the people that if they didn't give them things, which this priest said they would give some of to the dead spirits and do all these sacrifices, and if they didn't give them things, the evil spirits, the spirits of the departed ones, would come and do bad things to the people. So they basically, it was almost like, what would we call it, extortion? They came over to your house tonight and they knocked on the door and they said, what do you have to give us tonight? You know, we've got to take care of the spirit world and all that, and then it'll be really bad around here for the next year if you don't have something. So the people, you know, they forked out whatever they could find, and food and all kinds of things. And they believed that on that night the spirits were out, and they took the form of cats and dogs and birds and all these things. And so when they saw these animals and stuff, it terrified them, because they had told them, you know, that, well, the spirits are, you know, doing this and doing that. And so they were afraid of the black cats and afraid of the owls, afraid of this one and that one. And And really, it just was kind of like, I would call it the reign of terror, because they were really terrorizing the people. They were making them fear all these things, you know, and they were doing it for the sake of gain, so they could get it. One of their doctrines they taught them was that if you wanted to be able to avoid being bothered by these spirits and the ghosts that were out, if you dressed up like one, they wouldn't be able to tell you apart from themselves. And so when they're out there tonight haunting all the people and doing all these terrible things, if they see you over here and you look like one of them, they won't bother you. They would just continue on with the others. And that's actually where the costumes for Halloween came from, dressing up and trying to look like one of these other beings and stuff. And so it was a disguise. If you could disguise yourself, maybe you wouldn't be bothered by the spirits. And some of these things we see as they've moved over into the others, you know, like the story of leaving the cookies and milk for Santa Claus. These people actually set whole meals for the dead on that night. They bought the best food and they made these special dinners and things and set all these chairs around the table, and they believed on that night that the spirits of grandma and grandpa and all these things came and they sat in their house and ate their food. And they actually, you know, they believed these things. They were deeply grounded in what they did. And they were told, you know, that if you don't do these things, it'll be bad for you. And see, Satan's working with these things, so if somebody didn't do them, then naturally Satan would try his hardest to bring evil upon that person in the next year. So if this one guy over here, he tells the Celtic Druids, get out of here, I'm not giving you nothing, and then his house burns down the next year or something happens, you know, then it reinforced in all the people's minds. And the Celtic Druids were a very sinister group of people, so I'm sure that if you didn't give them what they wanted, they themselves would make sure that something bad happened to you the next year, just so that all the neighbors would really have it reinforced in their mind, you know, well, that guy over there, he didn't do it. You see what happened to him. So over time, it just became a deeper and deeper superstition of the people. And the problem is that when they brought Christianity along, rather than preaching, deserting all of these things, they let them keep doing some of them. And so what they found was that it had such a hold on the people's minds that, yes, while the people believed in Jesus and they wanted to become a Christian, they thought, well, we better make sure on the 31st of October we do what we need to do for the other gods too, because we sure don't want them coming after us. So it began to be a situation where they were doing all these things, trying to make sure, well, yeah, we're Christians, but we'll make sure on that night we appease this god and we'll do this on this time and all that. And so it began to be a blended service, and the church tried to put things on it. They declared November 1 All Saints Day, All Souls Day. And that was this special day when everybody went to the churches and they looked at all the relics and all kinds of things. They'd bring out the bones of the supposed saints and all that, and people went through to see them, and supposedly they got a blessing from it. And so the church began to try to put things on that day also to Christianize the day. They wanted to get rid of as much of that ugly stuff as they could, but they couldn't get rid of it, so they just continued to try to add things to it. Now the people, as they did both things, you know, the church should have preached to them and said, you have to be one or the other. You have to be Christian or you have to be pagan. But really, the problem with the church through the Dark Ages was they were really after the people's money. So they really didn't care what they did as long as they gave them their money. And so they really didn't care that they were all caught up in these things. This is page 126 out of this book. It says, Samhain, like the other pagan festivals, was so deeply rooted in popular tradition that Christianity had to try to take it over. The aspect of communion with the dead and with other spirits was Christianized as All Hallows, All Hallows Eve it was called, moved from its original date of the 13th of May to the 1st of November, and extended to the whole church by Pope Gregory IV in 834. In 834, they moved that other date over to it, put the two together, and made it an official edict of the Catholic Church. It says, but its pagan overtones remained uncomfortably alive And in England, the Reformation abolished All Hallows. In England, they actually outlawed it. We're not having any more of it. Once they got studying about it and saw where it came from, they just abolished it. It was not formally restored by the Church of England until 1928 on the assumption that the old pagan associations of Halloween were at last really dead and forgotten. A supposition that was certainly premature, it says. The people who outlawed it back then understood where it really came from, so they did it. But as time goes by and generations pass and people forget what it really means, the witchcraft people never forgot because they kept doing it. But the other people forgot what it really meant, so then the day came when they said, you know, this is just a fun day and all that, and you know, all these good things. The story of the jack-o'-lantern is the story of a man who supposedly offended the devil, and he was, it says that the devil kept him from going to heaven, and he was banished to earth to carry a lantern around, and that's where the jack-o'-lantern came from, carving the little face of the man in the pumpkin and all these things. So they had all these different things that they did to try to do these things. It says, on the night of October 31st, they believed the dead came out of the graves and walked around, so they offered up sacrifices and had special feasts to honor them. The priests of Druid taught them that if they did not do this, when they themselves died, they would be reincarnated as animals instead of people. Druidic priests became nominally converted to Christianity when, in the early centuries, it entered their land. Around AD 433 to 475. And Druidic practices, including October 31 festival to devils, came into the church in AD 558 at that time. To pacify the followers of Druid in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III, 731 AD to 741, declared November 1st to be a special feast day honoring the dead. In the 9th century, Pope Gregory IV, 827 to 844, said that it must be kept by all Christians. That's what we were just reading about. They commanded all Christians to begin keeping it. See, it's like they did to the Sabbath and other things. They tried to blend the things together, and they tried to. They wanted to do something that would make everybody happy. And the pagans, since they really weren't converted, so they weren't going to give up their stuff, so it more ended up that they tried to force the real Christians to come over and do these other things. The night was originally called Devil's Night. That's what it was called for centuries before they moved it over to the new date and name. So celebrations of all kinds took place. In Ireland, carvings on pumpkins and jack-o'-lanterns, also known as Will-o'-the-Wisp, and several other names, were made. The legend was that a man named Jack had played practical jokes on the devil and bothered him, so the devil kept him out of heaven. Jack, therefore, had to live forever on earth carrying about a lit lantern, warning people not to offend the devil. The lesson for little children, do not offend the devil. See, they wanted to get these things in the kids' minds, because if you can get it in the kids' minds as they're growing up, and get it plugged into their head as they grow up, they believe it. You know, they take it for fact. The Druids believed that on Halloween, ghosts, spirits, fairies, witches, and elves emerged from the woods and flew in from the skies to harm people. Those evil creatures must be placated with offerings of food. On that night, the Celts went with their children to one another's house to gather food for the devil gods. It's actually where trick-or-treating came from. Animals were feared on that night also. Dogs, owls, snakes, and pigs were particularly worshipped on that night. But among them, the cat was regarded with a special veneration. The Druid priest taught that cats, especially black ones, were sacred. This is why today we think of cats as well as skeletons, pumpkins, skulls, and children with sheets over their head when we think of Halloween. Druids were supposed to be able to cast spells and bring demon spirits into cats and similar animals. By believing those lies, the people feared the priests and were in bondage to whatever they requested. The Celtic priests also taught that witches ride on brooms through the skies on that night and fling down curses on those who do not honor the dead by taking part in the ritual ceremonies of that night. See, they had all these things to try to convince the people just to twist their mind, you know, get them scared to go out of the house and scared to do this and scared to do that and to give them what they wanted them to do. The Catholic Church controls their people today by fear, just like these people did. Fear of being put in purgatory and burned and burned and punished until you're good enough to go into heaven. Fear that if you don't do what the Pope tells you, he'll cast your soul to hell. You know, they teach that they have power when you die to send you to heaven or hell. So you better do what you're supposed to do. Satan is all about fear. That's why it says God is perfect love, and it says perfect love casts out all fear. God's plan is one of love and goodness towards us. These people don't have that in mind. They're out to drive you. God draws us, you know. He's told us what he did for us, and he's drawing us to him in love, but Satan and his people are driving people just like animals. It's like a cattle drive. You drive them with fear, and they're driving their people with fear. They try to put a special coating on it and make it look good and all that, but the bottom line is if you cross one of them, they'll be quick to tell you in the end, you know, you can't go to heaven if you don't get along with us. You got to do what we tell you. That's one of their doctrines of the church. And they enforce it whenever they need to. And see if you actually believe those things. If they can get you convinced of those things, they have power over you. They have power over everything you have. Your being, your wealth, everything you have, they have power over because they tell you what you have to do and people do it. It says, the Druid priests in North Wales taught that the devils came out of the fire on this night. So bonfires were lit to bring them out in droves. This is why outdoor night fires are today considered a part of the Halloween experience. In North Wales, each family was told they build a bonfire and then throw stones into it to bring out the devils and placate the dead. Prayers were offered. In the Scottish Highlands, fortune telling was done by clairvoyance during the bonfire celebrations. In other words, right then is when they gave their prophecies and they told the things that were supposed to happen. The problem has become so serious in our time that a couple years ago in Detroit, Mayor Coleman Young reported that 281 fires occurred on that night, up 20% from the 223 fires set on the previous Halloween. After the papal edicts were given, adopting and sanctioning the October 31st festival into the church, the people were taught that the next day, special masses must be said for the dead. Children were sent out to the homes on the evening before. The people were told to either give money or some other offering that night, or fast the next day so that the departed souls might be released sooner from the suffering of purgatory. See, they took all these things and used them to their benefit. If you've never studied Catholic doctrine, they've made it so that when you die, instead of going to heaven or hell, if you're a pretty good person but not quite good enough to get into heaven, you go to this place called purgatory. And in that place, you're sitting there and you're burning in the fire, and you're burning for a period of time, but it's not fire to kill you, it's fire to cleanse you and purify you. And so Grandpa might go there, and he wasn't a terrible guy, but we all know he cussed and swore and had a few problems, so Grandpa, he's going to have to do a couple years in purgatory. And so they would tell the people, well, if you give us this extra money, we'll say extra prayers for Grandpa down at the church, and then Grandpa won't have to stay there 2 years. He'll just be there 6 months. And so they actually extorted vast amounts of money out of the people. And they do this yet today. It's not published a lot, but as older people get older and they start looking at the end of life and things, you know, and they go to the priest and they start telling them what they have to do, quite often they're told to give a sizable chunk of their funds to the church so that they can have all these extra priests say all these prayers for them and make sure that when they pass away, they won't be stuck in purgatory very long. And we've already, you know, already talked about it. We know that the Bible says that when you die, you cease to exist. No more thought. We're waiting on the resurrection. It's like sleep. Jesus called it that. He said, Lazarus is sleeping. He didn't say, come down to Lazarus or come up. But he taught us that death is asleep and we're waiting on the second coming. Because it was simpler to do, most gave Halloween offerings. See, that's like stuff that's given away tonight. Halloween offerings. In this way, the Druidic practice of begging food from home to home continued. The Church of the Dark Ages was expert at absorbing pagan customs and then calling them Christian. There are those today who have tried to Christianize Halloween even more. They dress their children in biblical costumes and celebrate Halloween as a harvest festival. But the origin of the night celebration remains the same. So we've already read, we don't need to go back and do it again. God didn't tell them, when you keep their day, think about me or do this or that. He told them, when you get to your place, you won't keep any of their days. I don't want you to learn any of their things. So we know that even though they say all these things about putting them together and it's okay to do and all that, it's really not okay to do these things. Halloween is definitely Satan's evening. There's nothing out there going on good that you know, we should be involved in. It's a night we should have nothing to do with, not honor it in any way. But we should be educating people so that they can realize where these things actually came from. And there's this war of ideas going on, you know. And I used to tell the guys that I've studied with that had that, you know, to me it's like if you saw a great big guy over here that weighed 400 pounds and was full of muscle, and you saw a little 120-pound guy beating on the 400-pound guy, and he could beat on him and beat on him and beat on him, but the 400-pound guy hadn't done anything, some people might look at that situation and say, well, he can't do anything to the little guy, but you have to realize that he might just be long-suffering. And so they've looked at this situation. That's really where the pagans come from. They've looked at good and evil as they fight against each other. For a little bit, it seems like good has the upper hand. Then it seems like evil has the other hand. So what they decided is that the gods of good and evil were all the same power. They said one can't overcome the other one because if he could have, he would have already done it. And so that's where they developed all their symbols like the yin and the yang, the white and the black. And if you've ever seen that, even the white has a little drop of black in it, because they say even the good God has a little bit of bad in him. And they have the black on the other side and it has a little drop of white in it, because they say even the bad God has a little good in him. But they're exactly the same power, and so their real doctrine is that just worship whichever one you want. They're both going to be here forever because they've been fighting against each other for thousands of years, and one hasn't ever beaten the other one, so they say it's never going to happen. So just choose the one you want. And they say, we like everything that we're allowed to do as we worship with Satan and his side, so that's who we choose to be on. And what they don't realize is that the Bible says that God is all-powerful, but he's long-suffering, so he's like the 400-pound guy. Looks like he's putting up with the little guy, but one of these days he's going to give him the knockout blow, and that's going to be it. And all his people that are found over on his side, they're going to realize that their little guy wasn't what they thought he was, you know. And that when you get into a lot of these other religions, that's really the bottom line. They sat back and they watched good and evil as one seemed to gain on the other one, then the other one on that one, and so on. And so they've come up with the conclusion that that's really what all the witchcraft stuff is about. And they don't call it witchcraft, they call it paganism. But we know that paganism, any worship of any being other than the true God, is wrong. And so they have all these things, and that's why they have their ceremonies where the good God of summer, he dies in the winter. And the God of evil in the winter and cold, he takes over in the winter. But in the spring, he runs out of time, and the good God takes back over again for a while. And so they got this, that's really what they believe. They teach that, you know, it's good and evil, and they're just exactly balanced. And so one goes, and then another goes, and one goes, and the other goes. And so in their mind, you know, they think, well, just worship whichever one you want. But we know that God is in ultimate control, the Creator. Yahweh has everything under his power. And you have to have somebody in absolute control. And he is, even though he's letting this run on like it is. You know, he's saving as many as he can. We talked about Sabbath. He's long-suffering because he wants to save as many people as he can out of this earth. But the day is coming that he's going to clean house. Because he has to, you know, because we're getting to that point that what always happens is, you know, the good can live and allow the evil to live amongst them. But when it comes to the point where the evil get to where they have the upper hand, they try to exterminate the good. We're coming to that day when evil is going to have such a vast advantage, it's going to seem, because there's so many more people practicing its side. And really it goes back to Yahweh's laws, keeping the Ten Commandments, you know. The witchcraft people don't want to live by the thou shalt not commit adultery and these other things because they like that lifestyle and stuff. And so they want their side, you know, and it comes to the point that they don't want to hear from the other anymore, and they're going to want to exterminate God's people just before the end there. And it says that as we come down to the end, that's when he'll finally intervene, you know. It says in Psalms, it's time for thee to work because they've made void thy law. In other words, they've thrown it out, and eventually he's going to come back and do it. Satan always, just like he brought Sunday to replace the Sabbath, he's brought Halloween to replace Yahweh's Feast of Tabernacles and the fall stuff that Yahweh made. And Satan's always trying to make his a little more fun, blur the people away. And that's really what it's all about. And we just, as Christians, have to reject it and spread the word and help other people understand it. And there's nothing good involved with Halloween. There's no doubt about it.